today on Working in the Suburbs.
Factory was nothing to do with Andy Warhol because I didn't know at the time that Warhol had this building in New York called the Factory. Friday night is Factory night. So the poster read.
Hey everybody, happy Monday. You know my voice, my name is Patrick Foster. You listen to the Rock in the Suburbs podcast, and hope your week is off to a good start wherever you are and whatever time you're listening to this. We are going to do another episode of What Was First. We had so much fun doing it last week that we couldn't stop. We wanted to do one more. We will have a special two-part series on Bob Dylan's albums, the so-called Christian albums or born-again albums. That's going to be coming up with Tim Hoffman and myself tomorrow and Wednesday. So look forward to that. Maybe we'll close out the week with a couple more of these little guys or maybe something else. We'll see. It's nice to be flexible. But we had such a great response and so many people wrote in with ideas that I wanted to get another one going for you folks. So I want to thank Nick Optus for writing in. And he wrote, Jim and Patrick, really digging the bite-sized history lessons. It's a knowledgeable membership in this group, so maybe these have already been suggested. Yes, it is, Nick, a very knowledgeable group. But I'll tell you, these are great ideas that you came up with. And actually, none of these have been suggested yet. I'm not going to reveal all three that you suggested because I'm sure we'll get to them. But today, we're going to focus on Factory Records. And what I love about this story is so far, if you've been listening to the whole series, we've had 11 of these episodes, but we've had plenty of vinyl. That's been the first release on a record, plenty of 7-inch vinyl. We've had a CD. That's been the first release on a label. And guess what? We've also had a cassette tape that's been the first release. But this story adds a little twist to that. And I'll tell you, we're talking about Factory Records, right? Factory Records was a Manchester-based British independent label founded in the year 1978 by Tony Wilson and Alan Erasmus. Some of you may know the movie 24-Hour Party People. It presents a lightly truthful version of what went down in the Factory Records story. Some of it's there. Some of it, I think maybe they took some artistic license with. But anyway, it's a great movie. I love that movie. It's a lot of fun. And I love the fact that real people from the scene are in the movie at different times. But the interesting thing about Factory is that it started out as a club night. In other words, like a night that Factory would take over a certain club. It's called the Russell Club in Manchester. And the first one was launched by Alan Erasmus, Tony Wilson, and promoter Alan Wise helped them out. And it was on May 26th, Friday night in 1978. And after that took place, Alan Erasmus was managing a few bands. He was involved with stuff. Tony Wilson had a television show on Granada TV, I think it was, that he presented bands and did different things. And they decided eventually to get together and put out a record label. What's interesting, though, the first release listed in the discography or the list of releases by Factory, FAC, FAC1, is not a piece of vinyl. It's not a compact disc, and it's not a cassette. It's a poster. That's right, folks. The famous poster designed by Peter Saville. You may have seen it. It's yellow. It shows a guy sticking his fingers in his ear saying, use hearing protection. It looks like he's being vibrated. And it's a poster for concerts by the Daruti Column, Jilted John, Big in Japan, Manicured Noise, the Daruti Column again, Cabaret Voltaire, and a few other Joy Division, and I think the Teller Boys is the other band. So these are Factory nights at the Russell Club on Boyce Road that they were advertising. A poster printed in black and yellow in an edition of 300, and it was reissued in a Peter Saville authorized limited edition of 500 in 2003 with a Saville designed and signed certificate of authenticity. And I want to tell you that last information I gave to you, I read from a site basically that's at factoryrecords.org, and it lists his mission as, and I quote, this is an ongoing project to develop the master discography of Factory Records, including the following: Factory Communications Limited, which was sort of the original Factory label, and all its UK and international subsidiary labels, Factory 2, T-O-O, Factory Once, F4 Records, Factory Benlow, Factory US, of Factory New York, Factory America, Factory Australasia, and Icon/FCL. And the master discography of Factory Records, including all its subsidiary labels. That is based on an original 300-page plus printed document by Stephen Hankinson with input from Frank Brinkhuis, John Cooper, and Sebastian Lutzow. Go to this site and check it out, folks. It's incredibly detailed. It's so rich. It's got all the information you need. Now, we've gotten that out of the way. What was the first piece of music that was released on Factory Records? Well, this is a pretty famous piece of work, too. Factory 2, FAC 2, various artists of Factory Sample. It's a double 7-inch record that it's either technically, whatever you want to believe, very late December of 1978 or January of 1979 it was released. And I think the original idea some people had was they wanted to do a double 12-inch record. And it ended up under the stewardship of Tony Wilson and Alan Erasmus that it might be more feasible to pull off a double 7-inch record. A little bit easier to make. And there's a gatefold sleeve, a classic gatefold sleeve that comes with this. It's gray, and it's got this similar design to the poster, and it's got a guy wearing hearing protection. It looks like a hard hat as well on his head. It's a profile shot of him. And then it's got the use hearing protection thing on the back, and it's really a fascinating package. Really one of a kind, eclectic, amazing, and certainly iconic and legendary. There are four artists represented on this record: Joy Division, the Daruti Column, John Dowie, and Cabaret Voltaire. One of the most legendary debuts, I think, that you can have on a famous label. And a lot of times, it's so interesting that these iconic things just fit. You know, the time and space and the vision of the people who pulled it off, as well as the bands, because certainly there was a scene around the Factory Club and the Factory Nights and everything that went on to become the legendary thing that it was and is still in a lot of people's minds. So with all that said, and me stumbling around and spewing out words, which is what I do, why don't we drop the needle on a copy of this, I wish. Side one, we're going to hear Joy Division doing Digital. Okay, folks, Joy Division. Now, that was not the first recorded appearance of Joy Division. If you remember, their EP, An Ideal for Living, was released on the band's own label called Enigma shortly after the band changed its name from Warsaw. And that record was released in June of 1978. So Joy Division had been around since, I believe, 77. And they were... had done a little recording. They'd been in the studio here and there, and obviously they worked for a while as Warsaw. The Ideal for Living EP, sort of mixed reception. You know, they had made their debut on TV in September 78 on Tony Wilson's show, So It Goes, doing Shadow Play. For me, these tracks really cement what Joy Division would become, and then go on to release their two classic albums after that. So obviously, if you're going to have a Factory record, Joy Division was so closely associated with it. And, of course, New Order later, that makes sense for them to do the first two songs. And the song they followed up with on this record was a tune called Glass. And that's a great song as well. Actually, probably between the two, I prefer Glass to Digital. But, hey, Now, the second side, and I'll tell you what's really interesting about this double 7-inch, each side has a different name and has a little sort of subtitle. And it's really clever. The first side is called a side, which you could read as a side, but it's a side. It's a word. And the subtitle is Tears in Their Eyes. And then beside could also be read as B-side, Occasional Labor and Culture. The third side is C-side, S-E-A-S-I-D-E. And the subtitle there is A Piece of Cake, Three Songs That Spell F-A-G. And of course, the third side, John Dowie, probably better known as a comedian or a humorist, really, than a musician. But he did do a lot of songs. And we'll hear a little bit of his humor coming up. And then the last side, D-side, of course, the side. These are all one word, Lips of Sulfur, and that's the Cabaret Voltaire side. The two Drudy Column tracks are really interesting. The Drudy Column was a band formed in 78 in Manchester. Vinnie Riley is sort of credited as being the leader of that band. Bruce Mitchell was a drummer with him for a long time. They were one of the first acts signed to Factory. I believe that Alan Erasmus managed them at one point. And there's, you know, like three, four bands around, and they were all, you know, obviously inspired by the original formation of the punk scene and the Sex Pistols playing in Manchester Free Trade Hall and all that. And so they were a natural candidate to do this recording. And they have two tracks on this record. One is No Communication, but I prefer the second one myself. It's called Thin Ice with, in parentheses, Detail. Why don't we take a listen to that?
It's nonsense, really. Shame, the halt and the lame, the blind leading the blind, the blind down, is a crying shame, the halt and the lame, the blind leading the blind, the blind down, the blind
Now, I don't know if you'd say the Drudy Column was an acquired taste. I mean, their lineup certainly changed around a little bit, and they had some really interesting records. I mean, the Return of the Drudy Column record, if you remember this, I think it's 1980 or something like that. The original sleeve was actually made of sandpaper, a very Factory Records kind of thing to do. And they went on to be around for quite a while. I mean, I do believe they were putting out records in the 2000s, maybe even as recent as like 2010, something like that. So there's a ton of stuff out there. They've been around for a long time. And it's one of those groups, I think, where you really, if you get into them, you can kind of get into them and follow all the little ins and outs and all these different things. But the membership certainly rotated quite a bit. But yeah, a natural inclusion, I think, on this Factory sampler for sure. Now, John Dowie, let me read to you briefly from source of all human knowledge, Wikipedia. It says, John Dowie is a British comedian, musician, and writer, often viewed as a pioneer of alternative comedy. He began performing stand-up comedy in 1969. He contributed three comedic songs to this first release of Factory Sample, although it says here that his best-remembered song remains the satirical British Tourist, parentheses, I Hate the Dutch, from his debut album Another Close Shave, which was issued by Virgin Records in 1977. He later went on to put out a record called It's Hard to Be an Egg on Factory that had a wild sleeve. It was like white vinyl with like the center label was like an egg yolk or something like that. So it kind of looked like a fried egg or an over easy egg or something like that. And let's see, his songs included on this record are Acne, Idiot, and Hitler's Liver. Why don't we hear a little of something that people often call me. This song is Idiot by John Dowie.
I'm the kind of idiot who always ends a sentence with a question. Berserk and strut about in scorching weather with a vest on, won't I? I can bore the lug holes off a leper with my talk of sport and drinking, can't I? I have to be obnoxious cause it's obvious I'm even worse at thinking, aren't I?
So there you go, a little humor, a little, you know, John Cooper Clark, a little Ian Dury is in there, you know, a little Stiff Records kind of humor is in there as well. It's fun. I don't know, it sounds a little dated, I guess, today, but it's still not bad. And, you know, I'm sure I could go deeper, and I've read some things about Factory Records as to exactly why John Dowie was included here, but what the heck, it kind of makes it work with three pretty heavy other bands in there. It's nice to have something a little lighter to go with this. And talk about heavy. I mean, Cabaret Voltaire was very, they were a highly experimental band, and they did a lot of stuff with pre-recorded sounds, tape machines. They essentially early on, their performances were not really concerts more than they were performances, like performance art in some ways. They would drive around with speakers on top of their vans, and they would play their music in all kinds of strange places. I know at one point they showed up in a toilet, you know, a bathroom of some public building, and were playing in there and playing their music. And certainly they helped pioneer industrial type music along with some other British bands. And they're one of the most influential bands, I think, of the era because of the possibilities they opened up for other groups who didn't necessarily want to be up there with two guitars, a bass, and a drums, and wanted to go about other ways of creating mood and sound. And Richard H. Kirk, Stephen Melinder, and Chris Watson were the main component. They had a record come out slightly before a Factory Sample. It was called Extended Play. It was on October 1978, a 7-inch on Rough Trade Records that contained four tracks. The memorably titled Do the Mussolini Head Kick. There's a cover of Here She Comes Now by the Velvet Underground on there that's quite influential as well. It's the way they approached it. They've got two tracks on this record that kind of wrap it up, Beider Meinhof and then Sex in Secret on their D-side, Lips of Sulfur. We'll hear Sex in Secret as we play out to close this out. But man, this is really fun. It's great history, a little bite-sized history lesson because of how influential Factory would go on to be. They would become the Hacienda. They would become this multi-million dollar losing, in some cases, entity, right? With this nightclub and New Order and all these groups that gathered around them and all the records they put out on Factory and all the innovative stuff they did. And they influenced a lot of people. I remember the label Team Beat Records out of Arlington, Virginia also numbered things that weren't records. They numbered posters and events and maybe like a barbecue one time or a party they had all got a number. And it's very much kind of out of the Factory Records playbook, which is cool. I mean, that's a cool playbook to follow if you're going to follow one. So anywho, as we like to say around here, I want to thank Nick J. Optus for writing in. Glad you're enjoying these. Also heard from Adam Coop recently, and I'm going to work on a couple of his suggestions because they were very, very good. And one of them's really got me thinking, like, what could this possibly be? This is going to be interesting to find out. So maybe we'll get those up for you later this week. But like I said, look forward to some Bob Dylan for your Tuesday and Wednesday. Take a little relaxation. You can hear Tim's soothing voice instead of my annoying one, but I'll be in there a little bit. And Jim will be back soon, of course. As we all know, he's had a very busy couple of months. He's got him graduating from college and high school and moving in and moving out and all kinds of stuff happening. So it's a busy time for my man, Jim. But we love you, brother, and we love all you listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in to Suburbs Pod. My name is Patrick Foster. If you want to suggest something, you can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us anywhere on the social medias at Suburbs Pod. Drop us a direct message, and we'll get that picked up. And when I say we, I say thank you very much, intern Matt, for monitoring all that correspondence. And I want to thank all you people for listening and being interested in this topic. I hope you've learned something, and I hope you find it useful the next time you're stopped in the 7-Eleven parking lot and somebody asks you what the first release on Factory Records was. You'll know to say a double 7-inch record. You can get one of these on Discogs, so the original, the very original. There are 24 copies for sale right now. The median price is $350.61, so it's going to take an outlay of your funds if you want to lay your hands on an original one. But hey, it might be worth it, you know, if you're a big fan of this label. What a cool thing to have. Really cool. And speaking of cool, we're going to play out right now again with Sex and Secret by Cabaret Voltaire from a Factory sample, Factory 2, released in late 1978/early 1979 on the legendary Factory Records label. My name is Patrick Foster. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bump, 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 bump